We'd all be so much richer without racism in America, according to a new Wall Street analysis. I'm David Brancaccio. We'll start with a colossal number, $16 trillion. That's the economic loss suffered over 20 years due to racism in America, according to a new study by the big bank Citigroup. The study offers policies to add $5 trillion in extra economic activity over the next 5 years. Marketplace's Nova Safo has looked at this. How'd they get to $16 trillion?
Well, the study divides this into several areas where it points out pervasive discrimination against Black Americans, such as home ownership, lower wages compared to white workers. But the biggest factor, David, is entrepreneurship. $13 trillion lost to the economy because Black people are not getting the same access to business loans. Big banks are too often turning them down, or Black entrepreneurs get less capital to work with. And I spoke this morning with one of the study's authors, Catherine Mann, who is the global chief economist at Citigroup.
Many Black entrepreneurs end up going into businesses that don't generate as many jobs, don't generate as much wealth, because they don't have the access to capital to start the businesses that will generate more wealth, more jobs, and more income for more people, not only themselves.
And policies to add back $5 trillion to the economy. What does this report propose, Nova?
Well, they have a long list of proposals, but on the entrepreneurship front, Catherine Mann told me big banks like hers do have a role to play.
Financial institution making a commitment to purchase from those Black-owned businesses and financial institutions making a commitment to ensuring that Black entrepreneurs get access to the capital they need to succeed.
And to that end, this morning, Citi announced it'll spend $1 billion over the next 3 years on various initiatives to reduce the wealth gap. Other companies have taken similar measures recently, such as Pepsi, Bank of America, and Walmart. But you look at this 100-page study, David, and it's clear there's lots of work to be done.
All right. Yeah. Nova Safo, thank you. Among the news on the minds of market participants this morning, news that Johnson & Johnson's shot becomes the fourth vaccine candidate to enter large-scale clinical trials. It could take up to 2 months just to recruit the 60,000 people for that study. There's a chance this vaccine could work in a single dose with no second shot necessary. The stock is up 1.6%. And sports apparel company Nike stock up 14% at the moment after its profits were up more than double what was expected for last quarter. Its sales actually slipped slightly, but given pandemic, that was a big victory for Nike. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors.
The spending certainly shows that the strength of the consumer continues. Consumers have been starting to spend more. That's a good sign. Don't forget that we have Chairman Powell talking to Congress today, and undoubtedly he will include in his remarks the importance of fiscal spend in addition to the policies from the central bank. That's been a consistent theme of his, and he believes that having both entities, both central bank and government, working towards stimulating the economy is very important.
Aviva's Susan Schmidt there.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Pandemic and recession and polarized politics does not make other big problems go away, such as the risk for older people. They'll end up with no way to pay for long-term care. Led by the Treasury Department, the government recently released the results of a 2-year study. Marketplace's expert on money issues for older Americans is our senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell. Greetings, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So this report was about fixing how we pay for long-term care.
Right. And it focused on the private insurance market. And I have to tell you, David, I had really high hopes. I mean, a 2-year study. And I just thought that this task force, they need to take a bold stand for comprehensive reform. But really, when you read through the report, it only calls for modest tweaks to the private long-term care insurance market. And I just want to give you one sort of simple way to highlight why this topic is so important. About half of Americans turning 65, the day that they listen to this broadcast, will need some kind of long-term care and support services before they die.
Now, I mean, what are we talking about here? Let's define the term.
Okay, so long-term care is this catchphrase, and it's for a variety of support services older individuals might need later in life, right? Just to do their daily activities. You know, think eating, bathing, dressing, paying the bills, managing money, going shopping. And I do want to emphasize, this is really important, that the average need for long-term care, it covers a wide variety of experiences, ranging from minimal help to go run some errands to intensive care for those with dementia.
Dare I even open up this can of worms? How do we pay now?
It's a complicated topic, but in very broad strokes, most of these services and supports aren't covered by Medicare. And Medicaid, that's a joint federal-state health insurance program. It's the public long-term care option, but here's the thing. Qualifying for Medicare, you have to be impoverished first. So families are bearing most of the costs associated with taking care of their aging parents and their relatives. And meanwhile, this private long-term care insurance market, it has shrunk over the past two decades.
Well, it's not because there's not demand, right?
No, there is demand, but here's the thing. The premiums are too high, the policies are too complicated, and the coverage options have shrunk in recent decades. Now, on the insurance side, they have lost bundles of money underestimating the amount of care that they were on the hook for. So, if we went back 20 years from over 100 companies, you're now down to about a dozen.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.